Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, Surviving the 21st Century, a chance to look at health and nutrition in our modern world. Joining me, as always, are my very good friends, the writing and research team of Manny Barling and Ashley Brooks. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Simon.
I have to admit that when you guys floated the idea for today's program, going to the movies, I had a couple of flashbacks. Oh, that they were not LSD induced. These were just real life events. Several years ago, I had one of my brilliant ideas. I'm well known for them. The sort of brilliant idea that my wife just rolls her eyes at. One morning I said to her, "I'm going to become a movie critic." Her reply was, "That's nice, dear. Now, why don't you go back to sleep?" Well, there was more to this than, just Simon waxing lyrically. For quite some time, I'd been doing DVD previews, working with several PR companies. So it didn't take much effort to break into the world of major releases. The deal's a simple one. The movie opens in whatever city on a Friday, and the local press are invited to watch it earlier in the week at a, quote, private screening. Well, I thought this was pretty darn cool. Trip to the movie theater for free. Of course, there are some catches. The very first one I went to was scheduled for 10 a.m. on a Tuesday morning. So at 9:30 a.m., my wife and I stood outside the locked doors of one of those damn awful movie megaplexes, and soon we're joined by this really disheveled looking guy. And I thought, but I vaguely recognized him. He's one of the movie critics from one of the local TV stations. He introduces himself, tries the doors as we have, and exclaims, "This bullshit." And I didn't know what to do, so I just followed him, and we basically, went round the movie plex until we found a back door that was open, and we're in. Anyway, when the dust settled, I think there was a total of six of us in this huge cavernous theater, and we watched a truly, truly terrible movie. It was so bad that I don't even remember the title of it. In fact, just before we went on air, I asked Jan if she recalled the title, and she said, "No, that was a long time ago. It was a bad time. I only remember the good times."
I like Jan's attitude on that one. That's great.
On the way out, I asked the rather disheveled movie critic what he thought. And he looked at me. We weren't friends, but at least we understood who each other was. And he cracked a bit of a grin, and he said, "Well, it's going to be a real challenge to say anything nice on TV about it." So I left this event, and I thought that maybe I'd just had one of those unfortunate encounters. These things do happen, and the next time around would be better. It wasn't. This next movie had a much bigger billing. It was being advertised on TV. It was being advertised in papers. And I thought, okay, we'll give this a whirl. This time, the PR people said, we have two pre-screenings, Tuesday morning and Thursday evening. Well, Tuesday morning didn't work so well for me, so I signed up for the Thursday evening deal. Ha ha! I discovered that Thursdays, when you're going to do a quote press screening, have nothing at all to do with the press, other than they've given tickets out to the local radio stations for their listeners. Yeah, winners of competitions. It was a world-class zoo. I think Jen and I survived about 10 minutes of that particular movie and left. And that, my friends, was the end of Simon Barrett's movie critic career.
You know, I have to. I went through so many. I could do a week of stories. And
oh my gosh!
Yeah, I regale Ashley sometimes with stories of the '50s. My father pioneered film distribution and importing films. He worked for J. Arthur Rank in the '30s in Europe. So when he came to the United States and worked for Fox and other people, he helped expand that media. Well, I went to see all the bad movies his buddies made, who are independent movies, monster movies that you now see on AMC. And my brothers and I look at each other like, is this thing escaping? Is it really going out? And they were just terrible. And yet people would sit there, all these guys smoking. And in those days, the screening rooms, guys would smoke cigars, cigarettes, et cetera. And sometimes we couldn't even make it through the film because it looked like a smoke-filled gambling casino. You know. So one of my favorites is we went to see a screening of Schindler's List. Remember that?
Oh,
Ashley?
Absolutely.
And it was a private screening, and it was at a local temple to see how the Jewish audience would respond to this film. And Spielberg, you know, was somewhat sensitive to being criticized for it. So somewhere during the film, and I'm sure you saw Schindler's List, it's not exactly a Christmas movie, there were a group of teenagers who had separated from their parents, who were sitting about three rows in front of me, and they're making jokes as people are being, you know, dragged off to concentration camp. And one mother got up, and I could see her out of the corner of my eye, walked down the aisle, cut across the aisle, and whacked her teenage son up the side of the head and yelled, "Shut up and show some respect." And I'm taking her to pin drop in that audience. Do you remember that, Ashley?
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting there crying. I mean, the movie made me cry. It was horrible.
But I'll never forget this mother whacking that kid upside of the head and dishing out some discipline. But, yeah, they're generally hysterically funny. We had a friend who invited
me. That was not a hysterically funny film. We're moving on to another film, right?
Generally funny. So I'll tell you our funny story. One of our friends, a prominent actor, regular on TV shows, been in some of the more famous movies ever made, asked Ash and I to attend a screening of his latest movie. And
oh, bugged me. Had to come. You have to come see this, Ashley.
So we go see it, and half of the movie is being dragged around or tied up naked to a chair and being held for ransom.
I mean, think in some movies it's just too much information.
And believe me, this is the kind of person that when you met him and you saw him and someone said, "You may have to watch him naked for an hour," you would run to another state. So here we are in the middle of a theater. He's sitting in back watching the screening.
This is your reaction.
we know we can't walk out, and I'm actually holding my hands over my eyes going, I can't believe I'm looking at this guy. You know, oh, I was traumatized.
I'm still traumatized.
The thought of it traumatized me. So when it comes to the screening, I guess the message is be careful what you wish for, right, Simon?
Absolutely. I just ignored every invite from that point on.
Well, Manny does that all the time. We'll be standing outside. You know how they stand outside the movies, and as you're walking in or walking out, they have screening things that, you know, come see our free movie. And, you know, I'll say, hey, Manny, this is a free movie. Let's go. He'll just shake his head and say, if you want. We have yet to go to see one.
Well, and not only that, they ask you, if you're part of the industry, you can't go. And, of course, Ashley says no. And I go, come on, you're a voting member of the Academy. You vote on. What are you talking about?
Yes, I forgot.
And, Simon, that's the Ohio in my wife. Yeah, free movie?
Free
it's
movie.
Free.
It's free.
You know? If they handed her a coupon, I would have been forced to go. Well, we should get into some health-related news, although this is too much fun. You know, and taking a look at our long-running discussion of Monsanto and DuPont and GMO foods, some of the latest news is interesting. Hungary has stepped up its pace to stop genetically modified crops grown in their country. They issued a new regulation that stipulates that seeds are supposed to be checked for GMO before they're introduced in the market. Well, they started inspecting fields, and guess what? They found 1,000 acres of GMO corn, both DuPont and Monsanto, not just Monsanto, and it was grown out of genetically modified seeds, so they ordered them destroyed and plowed under. Well, the farmers were angry because they didn't know they had genetically modified seeds because they bought it from a local guy who basically just lied to them. So now they're checking every single crop in Hungary, and anyone who has any GMO product, they're going to be destroyed, and of course, everybody was deeply upset because guess what? There's no money to be paid because the same seed dealer basically went out of business. So how can you do much about it, right?
Right. Okay, but there's a bigger backstory to this, and that involves the whole EU. That there are no regulations on import and export between members. So if there is one member nation that allows GMOs, that there's absolutely nothing to stop those seeds crossing the border.
You're right. And in fact, what happens, Simon, if you followed up on the story, is that they could not really prosecute anybody who checked, so they didn't even make an effort to see how those got into the country because there's nothing they can do about it.
Right, that there is no paper trail or none that's, you know, worth following.
Well, yeah, and, well, it wouldn't matter. Because of the EU rules, they would be unable to do anything to punish or to that individual importer because it's they cannot pass a law that bridges the importation of it. So there's still going to be these problems going on, but the local governments are taking very interesting approaches to making life more difficult for Monsanto to do what they've been doing.
When I read the story, that there was a headline that just grabbed me. I haven't written the story. Hungry won't go hungry.
That's excellent. I like that.
That's interesting.
I don't know if you also caught the fact that within the same 24-hour period in Australia, there had been a raid on government-run fields where the trial fields of wheat variety engineered food were destroyed. And then, of course, the people came back, the people, Monsanto, whoever it is that's like part of this wheat variety, they were trying to put a lid on everything, saying the European Commission's 2010 summary of a decade of government finance research is saying that 25 years and more than 400 million of research by countries most worried about impacts of this technology find no basis for the frankenfood fears of millions of people of Europe and elsewhere. We have 130 research projects, and again, 25 years of research involving 500 independent research scientists and biotechnology people who are saying there's no risk. So all these people destroying all these fields have to stop because, you know, we biotech people are telling you it's not, it's we can prove it's safe.
Yeah, right.
I think I should change my position. What do you think, Simon? Just ignore all the scientists and ISIS and all the people are saying what's happening and how sick people are. What do you think, Simon?
Well, I think
this is
that,
in the New York Times, by the way. New York Times.
Right. I think that they said one very badly phrased thing. Independent research. Where's the stinking independent research? You show me.
Well, I wouldn't mind reading some of their research, but they won't provide you their research either. You know, this is sort of like your government that says, oh, don't worry, just trust us. Right. You know, if you can't trust your government, would you trust Monsanto? No.
I mean, the article
actually,
goes on.
I'm probably more tempted to trust Monsanto than the government, but that's not really saying much.
Oh, it's kind of one and the same. And the fact that the biotech industry is stepping up to the plate and putting this type of article into the New York Times, geez, how can you put this propaganda out there? But I guess that's part of it. We can prove our GM crops are safe. We're 100% GM varieties. We have these 100% safe varieties. Greenpeace is bad.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're saying in this article.
Well, I read an article, too, published by the industry that said Greenpeace doesn't know what it's talking about. And then it had about 19 posts from industry employees going, right on, they don't know what they're talking about. People should listen to us and da-da-da. So really what they're doing is starting to respond with a wider number of articles. And believe me, they paid for that article in the New York Times. The New York Times doesn't run around giving promotions to major corporations unless they're paid to do it. It's really that simple. And if the industry wants to say, gee, we didn't pay for this article, open up your checkbooks and let somebody look at it. Because my experience throughout these years is it's just lies. They write the checks and they expect what they want, and that's a positive thing. And people say, well, how can they bribe them? Well, it's very simple. Look at the ads in the paper. Look at the ads that people like DuPont run for its various products. And it's not like they say, gee, if you don't do this, I won't run an ad for GMO products. No, they say, if you don't do this, you'll never get an ad for our other products. So they control this by simply refusing to provide advertising dollars to the people who don't agree with them. And I think that's terrible.
And this gets even worse because of what's happened with the FCC and permitting mega publishers into certain locations. In fact, every location. Suddenly they have control of newspaper, radio, and TV. Now, you know, a big advertiser comes along and says, you will do this, otherwise we're going to pull all of the plugs. Oh, what are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, we're going to run some articles about how good GMO is.
Well, the problem is that I will then go to talk to somebody trying to help them improve their health, or Manny will talk to someone, one of us will talk to someone, or we're both talking together. So we're talking to somebody, and they'll say, well, I just read GMO has all this research and that Greenpeace are really bad, and, you know, it's 100% all these grains. It's really good for you. Safe. It's done in a lab. It makes it safe.
Well, skipping that for a moment, Simon, and I agree. I hear from people all the time, and I say to them, you know, the typical, you don't believe it if you want to buy a bridge line, but the fact is what people respond to is that simple statement. Do you trust your government? Then why are you trusting these people? But more importantly, people have been up in arms in Britain about Murdoch controlling things within the British government and having much more say in politics in Britain than he should. Well, I mean, forget about it. It's much more dangerous for Murdoch and all these people to run around with all the various people in the food-related industry and then give them carte blanche to run these kind of articles. That's far more dangerous to society than what's going on in the British government. I mean, there's only so much they can do with the British government, but they can poison America with their food. And that's essentially what they're doing.
Oh, and I agree.
Yeah, so we don't want to beat this to death.
No, but we're talking about maize. We started off talking about GMO corn and maize. So
we're going to get there to the corn, back to corn and maize. And the one thing we're going to talk about before we jump in is I saw something in the news that we had to talk about, the boredom diet. How eating the same food every day could help shed pounds. Simon, I sent you the article. I mean, it was horrifying. It cracked me up the most.
I loved it.
You like
on a strict diet of Kraft mac and cheese.
Well, how about someone show long-term habituation to consecutive meals of cheese pizza, pepperoni pizza, and mushroom pizza. That'll help you lose weight. And then someone else wrote another funny one that cracked me up about, if you have, so someone ate 3 double cheeseburgers, 2 KFC burgers, and 1 packet of Monster Munch chips every day for a month, they would lose weight?
Oh, my gosh. If the fact that they're saying if you repeat eat the same thing over and over, you're going to shed pounds, that defies everything that the body, human body does. It creates an allergy and intolerance. It creates illness and disease. I mean, if you eat the repeat eating gives you an intolerance that causes inflammation, that causes disease. So where do
they
get this
but
stuff from?
I absolutely have to disagree.
Oh,
if
me too.
You would
okay.
If you were to put me on a diet of Kraft mac and cheese, I would lose weight because I'd only eat it once.
That's true, and it would only be a half a bite.
Well, you saw that bit in the article about a more monotonous diet could reduce energy intake. Women who ate macaroni and cheese every day for a week were taking in 100 fewer calories each day than normal by week's end. I hope Dr. Dantini is listening because he's written books and lectured for years on how if you keep eating these same foods every day, it causes intolerance, allergies, makes you gain weight and causes you to have inflammation, disease, and triggers genetic defects. And in some respects, that's the most dangerous part of this diet.
Right, because all of a sudden the immune system takes over and it overreacts and you've got the food started treated like an invader or rejected. So, Simon, you're already rejecting it from putting it in your mouth, and then your body from the repeat is going to reject it too by causing this immune response. So no matter you're right, you're going to lose weight.
I mean, My body wouldn't even be involved. My brain would be involved.
Well, I'm going to talk about quickly before we come back to all these eating obsessions about something your body probably doesn't want to be involved either. There was the hot news in Los Angeles is in Orange County, and of course it would happen in Orange County, which is adjacent to Los Angeles. It's 5 million people who started out to be right-wing wackos who've been polluted by minorities, Latinos and Thais, Cambodians, etc. So we have this county next to us that is one part right-wingers, Tea Partiers, and wackos, and the other part are super liberals. So you can imagine the grinding politics. Well, it's also a place where they manufacture supplements. There's a lot of hospitals, and there's a lot of inventions. And, of course, there's Disneyland, the Anaheim Angels, and Knott's Berry Farm. And in this unusual county, which, by the way, is the way everyone in Los Angeles treats Orange County, they in turn insult us. That line at the county line might as well be New York and New Jersey. So a local company called Extenzi Pills, and you've got to remember that, have been selling pills that increase your penis size. Well, they got fined $1.7 million because guess what? It doesn't work. They made unsubstantiating advertising claims. I've tried to find the claims because I wanted to know if they claimed it added an inch, 2 inches.
I wanted to know the side effects.
Yeah.
They had 500 side effects.
Yeah. Does your wick glow in the dark?
God.
But then I laugh because they must pay restitution to consumers who've not received refunds. Well, who would want to stand up and go, I took your product, it didn't work, and I want more money? I mean, would that be embarrassing, Simon?
Well, what would be the most embarrassing part would be the whole discovery process of the lawsuit.
Oh, yeah, well, so what happens is NASCAR driver Robbie Gordon sues them and claims he used and was abused by the people who make it, and they put their logo on a car, and instead of paying him, they gave him the shaft. Well, I don't know what that shaft means, but basically, I guess it didn't add anything to the front of his car. His car didn't get any longer, I guess. But
and he was still able to fit behind the wheel.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I don't know that I'd want to admit that I'd sue the company with a penis enlarger because my car didn't get any longer. Although, who knows, maybe he got a free year's supply and it didn't make.
Now, the question for me is this. Now, I have to go back to Monsanto. You know that. So if you have Putzai saying that you have mice that after 90 days have blue balls, what happens to somebody who's eating GMO and then taking the Extensi span, or whatever this is called? I just want to know. I don't want to see it. I just want to know.
Just remember, all the shines in the dark is not always safe.
You know, I'm still waiting for the Roundup Ready Viagra.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably in the works. Don't worry. Biotech will go to the New York Times and tell you how safe it is.
So I just want to know, if you take Extensi and Viagra, do you become a flasher? I mean, now what does it do to you? I mean, people go around looking, anyone you know who ever used to complain that they see blue for hours afterwards. So,
what does do together, Manny?
Picasso's blue period. Listen, we better get off this. No pun intended.
Yeah, I want to go back to the movies.
The movies. Today we're going to talk about popcorn and a couple of favorites, Junior Mids, Mints, and Milk Duds. We cover some of this stuff in our book, It's Not Your Fault, and the reason I remember is our editor loved Junior Mints, and when she started editing the book, she was so grossed out about what Junior Mints contained. She said she used to eat a box for lunch. Oh, my God, what a way to live. And it just killed her. And she just killed her that she had to give up Junior Mints because of content.
And my favorite thing has been walk into the movie, smell the air, used to be, smell the air, smell the popcorn, beeline for the popcorn. I don't care if I just had lunch. Had to have that popcorn, had to have something to drink, and Manny would get his Junior Mints, I would get my Milk Duds. So that's what we decide. We're going to pick what we love. Used to love, I should say.
And then I'd try and rip her off for the Junior Mints because I really like them too.
And popcorn. You can only get a small one. And you only need a small one. And I get the small one. And the next thing I know, the hand would be diving in. Used to. And so we do a different program at the end. But
so anyway, let's give a little background. I mean, I love trivia. I bet people don't know that Junior Mints were invented 50-odd years ago, 1949. And it became very popular. And the reason they called them Junior Mints was it was a popular Broadway play in 1949 called Junior Mints. So they named the candy over it. And originally it was just a creamy, flowing, refreshingly light mint center surrounded by just the right amount of rich chocolate coating.
Dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate. And I bet it was wonderful in 1949. But
hey, it's a low-fat candy. I should eat this.
Yeah, but it's not your grandfather's Junior Mints anymore. The new version has 14 different ingredients. Those little mints. How do you get 14 of anything in something that small? And listen to some of them. Sugar, chocolate, cocoa butter, of course, there's GMO chocolate coming up.
Soy lecithin.
Refined sugar, soy lecithin, which is MSG, and, of course, GMO soil. And it's called vanillin. Now, you think it had vanilla in it. No, it doesn't. It has vanillin, which is an artificial flavor made by chemical esters in a plant in New Jersey somewhere.
And about 200 chemicals.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to list that, though. Just put vanillin.
Right.
Not vanilla, vanillin.
So they don't have to list the 200 chemicals it takes to make vanillin. Then there's corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, or just plain corn syrup. It's still sugar from corn and genetically modified corn. confectioner's glaze, we're going to get to that next. We'll move on from that. That's actually beetle butts. So we have modified food starch, which is starch, which is another form of corn syrup, and high fructose corn syrup, peppermint oil, imbrutase, which I must admit I haven't looked that up, so
it's
I don't
an enzyme.
Know.
It's just a synthetic enzyme.
Oh, that's right. Imbrutase is a synthetic enzyme. Then soya albumin. You know what that one is, honey?
Oh, sure. It's just more soy made artificially, and I think it's a binder. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, and then there's gelatin.
Another binder.
Which we talked about Thursday on our politics show. Gelatin is really a yeast extract that comes from yeast made from human DNA.
No, not necessarily. They could use a synthetic one. And if they use a synthetic one, it's still going to be probably made from a fungus. So you have gelatin fungus.
So it's either fungus or DNA. But if it's yeast extract and it's gelatin, it's more MSG. And funny about the list, I don't see MSG listed anywhere. So it's actually 15 ingredients if we include MSG. So a little junior mint has got
plus 200 vanillins.
Yeah.
So it could have as many as 215 different ingredients in it.
And now for our favorite, Simon. I know this is one of your favorites. A container carries
a little box.
Little
tiny box.
Right? 3.5 servings. Right? 3.5 servings. That little box. That's like two handfuls. I mean, they're gone. I mean, that junior mint box disappears into the... I mean, you can hardly get through a car crash scene in a movie without a box of junior mints, right?
Okay, so, here's the big question. What happens if you turn up at the movie theater and you ask for 3.5 tickets? You know,
right. <'cause...
laughs> They'd want to know if you were pregnant, Simon.
So, you know, basically you're getting about 30 grams of fat. I love the list on there. No vitamin A, C, D, calcium, no iron, nothing. Calories from fat, 30. You know, saturated fat in a the serving is 13 grams of saturated fat. And, I mean, that's bad, but, you know, it's not.
Now, this one got me because anybody who could possibly be a diabetic or is even, like, traveling down the path to become one, you are guaranteed one. This is a little tiny box serving for 3, sugar, total carbs, 32 grams. So that one box is 32 grams times 3. That's just if you just had that. We're going to go on from there with what we're drinking and what we're eating and, you know, you're doing a death march, just going to the movies.
Okay. All right, you're turning scientific on me.
Oh, okay.
Americans don't do grams.
Oh, well, sugar, normal grams, according to your RDAs, is 40 grams a day. That's your total for the entire day.
No.
Let's break it down. Simon, they're 28 grams in an ounce, okay? And that's generally 4 to 6 teaspoonfuls. So if you're looking at 35-plus grams, as Ashley points out, you're talking about 6 to 8 teaspoons of sugar in that junior mint. Does that make better sense?
Yeah. I can wrap my head around that. Grams of the Europeans.
Yeah. Well, I think people, are diet conscious, look at grams, and, you know, now every can has grams, but really it breaks down to about 6 teaspoons of sugar. And one of the reasons I read this article while I was researching the books and I stopped eating them. And every time I looked at them, because I learned quickly they are one of the foods that are addicting, that have the MSG and other things. So the minute you have one or two, your mouth starts watering and you want to eat the whole box and go buy another one.
Plus it has corn.
The funny part of my story was, we haven't even got to that because you have to add that sugar, is every time I looked at that box, I would say, that's 6 teaspoons of sugar. And then when you throw in an equal amount of cornstarch and corn syrup, it's more like 10 or 12 because they put in either 50-50 or 60-40 ratio of corn syrup sugar to avoid putting it on the label. So Ashley's 35 grams is really more like 70 grams.
Per serving times 3.
So that chocolate is literally, when you look at that box of chocolate, it is half sugar. 50% of that box of chocolate is refined sugar and sugar from corn.
And the corn syrup, as we've talked about before, is it cannot be broken down in the liver. So if you can't break it down in the liver, you're therefore, and you're also taking fats in with this, you can't break this down in the liver, and the liver cannot then translate it into breaking it down with the insulin, which means that please don't get a blood sugar test done within 7 days of this one, because you will be diagnosed as a diabetic because you can't break it down. It's very, this little junior mint box is so toxic that I'm angry at myself for not doing this sooner in my life.
Well, Simon, let's add something to that. If you have a child that grabs a Coke with it, so they have a junior mint and a Coke. Well, let's say it's the 24-ounce glass, the medium, okay? Well, 24-ounce bottle of Coca-Cola or in a theater has approximately 160 grams of sugar, refined sugar, and corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup. So you now got 70 or 80 grams from the junior mint. Then you're having about another 100 and some grams from the Coke. And if you get those big gulps of 40 ounces, you know, it's about 105 grams of unrefined sugar and high fructose corn syrup or more. So you're talking about a couple hundred grams right there. So now I'm the guy who's having the junior mints or Ashy is, and then Ashy is having the milk duds. So let's talk about the milk duds. You can do these together. Milk duds, as everyone knows, are caramel.
Oh, I love milk duds.
And one of Ashy's favorites.
Me too.
They're historically the enroven milk chocolate and the caramel inside, and serve them with a little confection coating made from cocoa and vegetable oil. And, of course, Hershey's eventually owns them now, but they've been traded and sold about 8 or 10 times in the last 25 years. And the reason they use the word milk is they use a large amount of milk originally in the product, which we don't believe they do now. And, of course, that makes a milk chocolate, which is taking dark chocolate and diluting it with milk. So basically, that's what a milk dud is. But guess what? That has 21 different ingredients in it. And I'm not including MSG because...
Or vanillin, the 200 things. This is in vanillin also.
Yeah. So here we have the same type of ingredients, corn syrup, sugar, vegetable oil, palm oil, sunflower oil, safflower oil. I mean, who wants to have candy that's oil and refined sugar? Non-fat milk. They can't even use regular milk. Then they put dextrose in. So here I've read four basic ingredients.
And dextrose, we know, is corn now.
Right.
Corn is like GMO corn.
So we have unrefined sugar, corn syrup, which is sugar, dextrose, which is sugar again.
Corn sugar.
And so we have, right now, three different forms of sugar. Then you got chocolate, which has sugar naturally. Brown sugar. So we're up to, what, five different kinds of sugar in this thing.
And it's refined sugar, so you're going to get the caking agents with it, which they don't have to list.
Right, which is aluminum.
Aluminum and causes Alzheimer's. So let's go from there.
And then we go, whey is a form of milk, and that, of course, comes from factory farm cows, and everybody knows the factory farm cows are pumped up with steroids and antibiotics and fed genetically modified corn and soil. Now we get to the fun ones, mono and diglycerides. Two more chemicals. They could put bleach on there for all I care. It's just another chemical. Sodium bicarbonate, maybe that's to help you stop getting indigestion. How about salt? And then there's resinous glaze. That's another different stuff, name for what's called shellac, which we're going to get to. Soy lecithin, more genetically modified soy with MSG, because soy lecithin is an excuse to hide MSG. Tapioca dextrin. Gee, sounds like a form of sugar to me. And then vanillin, all 200 different flavors of that. And artificial flavor. So I guarantee you when milk duds were invented, they were sugar, unrefined sugar, milk, and chocolate. Now they're 21 ingredients. So you go have 14 different ingredients in your, junior mints. I had 21 for this, which is 35, throw in the various forms of the MSG, which are hidden, you're up to 37, 38. And then, again, this one.
I want to see nutritional facts. This is healthy for me, right? I should eat this.
again, a serving of the of milk duds is for 3.5 people. That little box of milk duds for 3.5 servings. Simon, could you, do you believe that, 3.5 servings?
Well, I go back to, I'd like to buy 3.5 tickets to watch this movie.
Well, no, I would. That's like saying to you, McDonald's hamburger serves 3.5 people.
And it's all done so that they could hide stuff, obviously.
So,
you know, they, and then you have to sit there and try to calculate what 3.5 divided into this is, because then they can hide things.
Well, honey, I did the work this morning. I actually sat here with a calculator, because then you have to figure out each gram, the amount of grams, and then multiply them by 3.5 to figure out what the box is.
Thank God he knows us.
Because I do not believe there's one person listening to this show that can say, oh, I'm going to take a box of milk duds and divide into 3.5 servings for my friends. It doesn't happen. So that simple box of milk duds has 180 grams of sugar. But that's...
Wait a minute,
honey.
Serving or the whole box?
The box, okay. That is... But that's only refined sugar.
And
that,
again, Simon, 40 grams is it for the day.
So, and that doesn't even include the high fructose corn syrup. It has 897 milligrams of salt in it. I mean, that's 11% of the candy is salt. I mean, that, you know, so you basically have a box of that, have the other one, and then throw in the salted popcorn, which we're going to get to. You might as well just kill yourself. But coming back to Ashley's point, if you go to a Sunday movie and you share some Milk Duds, Junior Mist, Coca-Cola, and some popcorn, and you go to the doctor on Monday or Tuesday and you have a blood test,
you're guaranteed. You are a diabetic. There is no doubt about it. You are
100%.
You will be on drugs because your liver cannot take this. Convert it to bile. Take the bile and break up what's necessary in your body. It cannot do it. So you've taxed your liver, you've taxed your gallbladder, you've taxed your kidneys, and now guess what? You are now having metabolic syndrome, which is the diabetic syndrome, that cannot use the insulin to break down what you need.
Well, honey, that's pretty scientific. Let's get some basic ones people understand. How about 54 grams of fat? So, I mean, throw that in with the similar amount of fat in the Junior Mints, and we haven't even got into the popcorn and the rest of them. Calories, 595 calories. And, of course, it has no dietary fiber. And, you know, it has really nothing else of any value. So when you look at it, you go, my God, you know, what is this done? So anyway, let's talk about some of the
stuff. Oh, I see the trickery here, Manny. The trickery is you pick up this little box and it says sodium, 350 milligrams. That's safe. A little box.
But that's for serving.
You no kidding. Then you go, wait a minute, let me put my glasses on so I can see it's 3.5. Servings. If I eat the box, which is not going to, it's absolutely going to happen during, like you're saying, a car chase, there goes 897 milligrams of sodium.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, whoever eats just a couple, you eat a box.
Yeah. Remember the old Granny Goose potato chips? I bet you can't eat just one. Incidentally, they're now called Lay's, and I think they're just as addicting. But let's talk about what happened here. In 1996, basically, Milk Duds were sold to Hershey Corporation. Okay? Since then, the caramel is not real caramel in the Milk Duds. It's synthetic. So after a little research, we found that Hershey's in 2008 changed ingredients of some of its products in order to replace the expensive cocoa butter with the cheaper, you know, substitutes. Why? They had to disclose to the FDA because it affects what you can put on the label. But I don't see a label. I don't see any statement that says Hershey has changed what's in their candy bars and the Milk Duds, and at the end of the day, they're not the same product. Everybody gets up and thinks they're having the same Milk Duds they had when they were
in a new pretty box. It's a new changed box. They had to change the box because some of the wording, and they claim that this is because to cut the cost. But then I sat down.
Wait a minute, honey. Cut the cost. Have you seen the cost of Milk Duds in the theater? They're $2.75 to $3.75. So I mean, you tell me.
A tiny box.
So you tell me how much more did it cost when you see them in the stores? They're selling for like 95 cents. That is utter BS. The cost of real cocoa butter, you know, versus synthetic is not so large to increase the price.
Well, for me, I just want, you know, advertising, the changing the formula, everything that went into that box would be more costly than putting the real deal in.
Well, it isn't as more costly. And if you wonder if it's cost some more money, anyone who understands business can go at the end of each quarter and read Hershey's and other companies what are called 10-Ks, which are their filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. They have to show their quarterly profits. We see them all the time, you know, Exxon made $33 million this quarter. Well, look at Hershey's and some of the food people. Hershey's is making more money than it's ever made, so it didn't exactly save the company. It put it into bigger profit margins, which was their only reasons for doing it. And by the way, their problem is their chocolate is down to 20-some percent, and they don't contain cocoa butter anymore. So there's an issue as whether the candy should be described as milk chocolate, but because it's Hershey's, they've never submitted to the FDA rules, and they're basically selling chocolate that what I can read on the FDA is essentially against the rules. So today's milk...
Right. Aren't they down to something like 23%?
23%. So Milk Duds and Hershey's chocolate are no longer Milk Duds and Hershey's chocolate. You know, and they complain. Like, once in a while, as you looked at that Chocosphere site, you can buy 73% Madagascar pure chocolate, and it's expensive. It's $2 a bar. But if you take a 95-cent, Hershey bar, and it's 23%, it's the other one, for $2, is three times the chocolate. So if they put out a 70% chocolate bar, they'd probably charge $3 to $4. More than the Europeans charge for the better quality chocolate, which has unrefined sugar and only has usually three ingredients, milk, unrefined sugar, and the chocolate, and some people like a little salt, and some of them, as you know, Simon, they don't put the salt in it. They roll the chocolate in a little rock salt afterwards, and you can see the rock salt on the outside. I don't care for it. Ashley likes the
salt. Oh, I love that.
But that's the only time salt added. They don't have 21 ingredients, right, Simon?
Right. Yeah, it's simple.
Yeah.
One of the articles that you sent me had nothing at all to do with nutrition, but it had a lot to do with hurting the wallet. But there was a quote about it costing $12 for a medium popcorn and a medium drink.
Well,
I mean,
we're going to get to that next. I want to add one last thought about this chocolate, okay? These are some other products that don't contain cocoa butter anymore and don't contain enough milk chocolate to be considered chocolate. And yet you don't see these on the label. They are Hershey's Kissables, those little kisses everybody likes. Those do not have enough chocolate or cocoa butter to consider chocolate. How about Crackle? Worse, Mr. Good Bars, which I used to like, don't even have enough chocolate and cocoa butter to be called that chocolate, and the whatchamacallits also are that way. So here, when you take a look, and if there's a favorite candy that you like, then what you need to do is sit down and take a look at what's in that candy bar and research it, because they're available on the internet. You might be horrified. And because the last item before we get the popcorn is that shellac. They're coating the candy with something that is essentially the rear end of a beetle, and it makes shellac. Simon, you saw that, don't you? It takes about 100,000 lac bugs to make 500 grams, which is broken down would be about 18 teaspoons of flakes. And that means every time you eat those candies, you're consuming body parts of 1,000 beetles.
Shellac.
Same shellac that goes on your furniture. They
right.
Shellac your
cars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And worse than that, the FDA considers it generally regarded as safe, and they don't have to put it on the label. So all those people who don't want to eat bugs ought to find out that confectioner's glaze means shellac. So every time you look at a product, it says confectioner's
glaze. Which was on these candy labels. There was one had a candy label that said confectioner's on it. I think it was the first one, the Junior Mints.
Oh, Junior Mints. We wrote about
it. I know we did. I didn't know if it was on the Milk Duds, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Resinous Glaze. Yeah. Resinous Glaze, I think, is the same thing, isn't it?
Right. Resinous Glaze is, again, Beetlebutts. I don't know what it's called.
My wife has a real big problem. If it's dinner time, she refuses to let me watch a program. I think it's on the Food Channel. Andrew Zimmern, Strange Foods, right? He travels the planet eating bizarre things. But she'd happily lay into some bugs on her Junior Mints.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's also on aluminum foil coating, paper coating. It's in hairspray, shampoos, perfume, mascara, and lipstick. They put in a lot of things. And by the way, they coat pharmaceutical tablets. So when you look at that glossy little tablet you're about to swallow, that's got shellac on it. They put it on chewing gum, fruit, and coffee beans as well.
Coloring in food dyes, beverages, Hershey's Whopper malted milk balls.
Oh, yeah,
Hershey's
all these are
milk
candy.
Duds. Yeah, there it is, Hershey's Milk Duds.
I got a whole list. Hershey's Raisinets, Nestle's Goobers, Tootsie Rolls Sugar Babies, Jelly Babies, all the Godiva chocolates, Gertrude's Hawks, which are chocolate-covered nuts. How about Russell Stover's Skittles Starbucks? Oh, Starburst! I love shellac on my candy. You know. So anyway, make a long story short. Besides everything else, you get that. So now we get to your favorite.
Wait a second,
chocolate.
Though.
Yeah,
what I wanted to say was, this is the one thing that really bothers me. One of the many things, Simon. If Grass says this is safe, okay, you can eat this beetle shellac that you use on your car and on your floor and everywhere else and in your hairspray. This amount, X amount, is safe for you to ingest, okay? But then you're going to have 3.5 in the candy box of shellac. You're going to be chewing gum at how much you're chewing gum of shellac. Then you're going to have a Milk Dud box, which is another 3.5 of shellac. And then you're going to have your medicine. You're going to take your medicine that has some more shellac. What point is it too toxic for an individual to ingest? So to randomly say Grass says, this is safe, you can eat beetle butt and shellac and lick the floor, what point is it too much for you?
That's a really, really good question. And I think it all goes back to a huge failure in the government system. You know, by being able to create artificial proportions, you can hide a lot of this data.
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly. And if I picked up a candy box of Milk Duds and read what the real ingredients were, and I'm eating beetle butt and shellac, the same stuff that goes on my floor and my car, I would I eat that? Would I give that to my child? Would I give that to a pregnant mom who has a developing fetus inside of her? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's one we hadn't thought of, is poor pregnant mothers are sitting in the theater right now having a piece of candy thinking life is great.
Right. I need my sugar boost. They're saying I need the carbs. I need this and that. And this is what you're putting into your body. And then people want to know why. You know, the newborn baby's having problems. Well, that's part of it. It's the totality of the ingredients of what you're putting into your body.
Yeah, you know, we haven't even got to popcorn, and I don't even know if we... I mean, that's a weak discussion itself.
Oh, popcorn. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Simon, you were pointing out about how much is in popcorn, and as we discuss popcorn, everybody needs to stop and consider that now that we've got to popcorn... You're also talking about throwing that on top of what we just discussed in terms of the large volume of food. So here we are dealing with popcorn after you've had, or just before you've had, Junior Mints, you know, what do you call it?
Milk Duds, chewing gum.
chewing gum, and by the way, we're not even considered breakfast. If you had lunch in a McDonald's and the rest of it before you went to an afternoon show, or you had dinner and you ate this anyway, you can't even imagine this thing. So some raw numbers. Americans consumed 17 billion quarts of popcorn last year. Wow. That's a lot, isn't it, Simon?
Oh, it's more than I'd care to eat.
Yeah, you know something? I didn't really run any numbers on that. That's 17 billion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you divide that by the 340 million people in the United States, and I think I need one more zero. Yes, I do. You get an average of 50 pounds of popcorn per person a day, or 50 quarts of popcorn a person a year, excuse me.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Quarts, so that's basically a quart a week of popcorn, and then some people I know eat more, some eat less.
Oh, I trust me, I'm on the eat less.
Yeah. Now, but that is the time when I used to like it. Ash and I, by the way, do make popcorn once in a while from organic popcorn, because one of the problems with the popcorn in the theaters, it comes from genetically modified corn, what's called Zea Maize Verda, which is a GMO corn. So here you are with GMO corn, popcorn, along with the 35 to 40 ingredients from just the mince and the other ones, and you're now adding a genetically modified corn, and if you have it buttered, then it's covered with synthetic butter. And before we get into too deeply into the popcorn itself, you know, basically, there are 350 different types of butters and creams. And what bothers me is, why do movie theaters and microwave popcorn makers use synthetic butters with all those choices? Because these chemicals are dangerous. And I'm going to start this conversation with a short story, and Ash can jump into the more scientific aspects. There's a lady named Irma Ortiz in Los Angeles. She's 44 years old. She's been working in California food flavoring companies for years and was diagnosed with bronchitis obliterans, a rare and life-threatening form of fixed obstructive lung disease.
Can only be repaired by lung replacement.
Yeah, sort of what happens with is it's as if they smoked 5,000 packs of cigarettes a day. It's also known as popcorn workers' lung disease, because it's turned up at workers at microwave popcorn facilities. The disease destroys the lungs. Okay, this was once a woman.
Transplant-only cure, 44 years old.
Okay. For years, this lady ran around her workplace, worked like a dog, and now she sits on her couch, too winded to sweep her patio, can't walk her son to school, and she's slowly suffocating. So she tells a story about how she wore a disposable mask when she mixed these flavors for about 8 years when she worked at the Carmi Flavor and Fragrance Company in Commerce, which is an area of East L.A. that borders on Orange County. In recent years, it became impossible for her to wear a mask because she coughed continually to plant and her nose ran.
And they kept her at work.
Yeah.
Keep the mask on, you'll be fine.
So, since 2001, all of the studies have shown links between the disease and the chemical used in the artificial butter called diacetyl. Okay, wow, wonderful. Another chemical ingredient, another chemical flavoring. The ones they don't disclose and they don't put on the label when they put artificial flavoring. It's, so far, flavoring manufacturers have paid out $100 million in damages and lawsuits by people made ill with popcorn workers' disease. That's just in the last 5 years, with more to come. There are no federal laws to regulate this chemical, so it shows up in your food. And OSHA, I loved OSHA. OSHA, which has set no standards on this, finally did a little bit of a test. And in fact, they are finally going to start inspecting microwave popcorn facilities in the last year. So basically what happened is they said, well, we did the report we submitted to the industry. We won't release or discuss it until they look at it, which means the industry is going to have a chance to change it. Okay, so we read some articles from David Michaels, who's the head of the Department of Environmental and Occupational Health at George Washington University. He's a former Assistant Secretary of Energy, okay, and he accuses OSHA of regulatory paralysis. That means the politics of food, big lobbyists and other people preventing them from releasing anything that would damage a product or use. So Michaels says, quote, It's not some carcinogen where you get cancer 30 years from now or something. The people are dying right in front of you. You can't wait until you have all the evidence. You have to regulate it. But has our government done anything to protect the human beings? No. They just football it around because they're more concerned about protecting the industry. Well, California has got so upset, as usual, we're the leader in this area, and California says, we're sick of Washington, so there's a new bill in California, and California will probably be the first state in the union to ban this chemical to protect its citizens. And I'm sure Tea Partiers across the United States will help. More regulation. You can't regulate business.
No, because diacetyl, you should breathe this even at home with your kids.
Yeah.
Let them make the microwave popcorn and do this diacetyl. Go to the movies and suck this in.
Yeah. So California's conducted a tour of all 29 food flavoring plants for breathing troubles, okay? And so what did Cal/OSHA found? They found 22 people who are suffering with below lung function because of this, okay? 22
Which is the
people.
Showing of the beginning of the disease.
And they had 8 with full-blown disease that had not been diagnosed. And all of these people were young Latinos with no history of smoking, so you can't blame it on cigarettes. And, of course, they weren't complaining because they were worried if they complained that what they're doing makes them ill, they just fire them and replace someone else. But this product, diacetyl, is in butter-flavored popcorn and microwave popcorn, and these people are being ill working the plants just inhaling this chemical while they're working, which means you're eating the chemical, it's going into your body.
And you're breathing it. Isn't
yeah.
this the same chemical when you go to the movie where we now go, I used to go to the movies and go, oh my God, I can't wait to smell that butter popcorn.
Well,
but
yeah.
now this is what you're smelling. You're smelling a form of a chemical.
Sure, because when they heat up that artificial butter, Simon, the smell goes airborne carrying this throughout the city. So before long, many believe that the children, teenagers who are working in movie theaters may well start having breathing problems, allergy problems, and this may well affect them. But the industry is never going to allow this study to come out. It's never the FDA is never going to be critical of it because as long as these people can make political negotiations or donations, nothing's going to happen. So, Ashley, tell us more about why the diacetyl is such a bad product.
The biggest problem with it is that it's just absolutely toxic. It's called a vicinal dicatone, and it's known as a 2,3-butanidione. It's supposed to be a natural product from fermentation. It's a natural fermentation of the wort by brewing yeast. So beer people were using it, and contrary to what certain people were saying beers without diacetyl taste is a lot better than beers with it. So people are still using it anyway. It gives the beer a kind of slick, smooth taste. It's a higher flavor of butter. At higher levels, this particularly turns into a buttery thing, which is your artificial diacetyl. Now, what's happened is that the diacetyl is sometimes one possible source of this diacetyl is a bacterial infection. The brewing yeast converts glucose to ethanol, and it's an intricate type of metabolic pathway. It's very scientific, so we're not going to do that science. One by one, these products occur along the way into an ester called acetolactate, which you'll see in some of your ingredients, but they one that I'm most familiar with that I see is a 2,3-butanidione, which you'll see on some of the ingredients. The esters produce this amino acid, and it gets dumped into your beer, and at a low pH environment, this gets transferred into, it's very complex, so we're not going to get into the complexity of it. The thing is with this is that Orville Redenbacher, in 2009, when they, ConAgra, people of this, okay, ConAgra, the people of your microwave popcorn, they came out and they said, okay, they did big ads, and I don't know if you remember the summit. They came across and he came out saying, we remove diacetyl from our product, and our product will say no diacetyl. We came up with a new, safer butter substitute. It turns out that the replacement is equally toxic. But because this is like used, as we're saying, for beer, it's a yeast, it's a natural product, they can now continue to say this is a natural product, when indeed they have replaced it with something that is actually not regulated, and it is put into your butter flavoring. So it's an important thing, if you can take a moment to, when you're looking at your butter popcorn, please take a look at the ingredients. See what the ingredients are, and if it says artificial butter on it, skip it. Don't put it in your microwave. Don't allow your kids to inhale it. When you're at the movie theaters, bring your own stuff, because if you're going to use this, it's called a blend starter distillant and trimmer as a substitute for the rich butter flavors, you're now putting that into your system.
Well, just go back to talking about popcorn in general, because now that you know that if you have popcorn and have butter on it from them, it's going to kill you, you know, let's talk about
it. Oh, Manny, I want to mention this, because this is something people should look for on a label. It's called 2-3-PENTANEDIONE. Now, I have seen that on stuff.
So have I.
Okay, can I ask just one really simple and stupid question? Why can't you use real butter?
You know, there are one or two places that do, and they sell it quite well, and I don't remember specifically which ones, but it was either Regal or someone else offered it as an alternative in some limited areas. So, yes, it's available, but the real issue here is what's in the popcorn. For example, you know, if you go to dietfacts.com and Vita's sites, they list all this stuff, they break it down. Regal Cinema Group, which is one of the largest chains in the U.S., still has 25 grams of saturated fat, which is as much as 3 Big Macs, an equivalent of a full day of your daily recommended allowance, or I should say recommended daily allowance, the RDAs. And that's for a medium, or small one, medium, and the large ones have 3 times that. So a large one contains as much as 100 grams of fat. And microwave ones that you get come with these artificial flavoring agents have a sprinkled on, almost like using a Cajun seasoning, which instead of butter, which contains the diacetyl. So your microwave has that too. So let's give some general ranges. Movie theater popcorn. So this is according to, I went to 6 or 7 different sites that have investigated, including the Center for Public Science. And they range from 400 to 1,200 calories for small, okay, 1,500 milligrams of salt, okay? So if you have the giant box of popcorn, you're getting 3,000-plus milligrams of sodium alone. You're getting over 100 grams of fat. And here we are at the tail end of a conversation where we list the 100 grams of fat from one piece of candy and the other, and all the grams of fat over 100 in the Coca-Cola. So that combination of Coke, et cetera, is about 400 grams of fat. Go ahead, Ash.
Well, one of the things we keep saying, saturated fat. The most dangerous type of fat you're going to take in that raises the blood cholesterol level, which is your bad LDL, is your saturated fat. So there you are eating saturated fat, and again, you go have a blood test the next day after eating this stuff, you're going to end up saying, oh my gosh, your cholesterol level is so high, and boy, are you a diabetic.
Again, they use coconut oil, which is 90% saturated fat, to cook it. And
90% saturated fat,
so
the worst fat you can have.
Like, to give an example, AMC, which is a major movie chain, their 16-cup large popcorn tub has 1,000 calories, not the big one, the one in between they call large, and 57 grams of saturated fat. Well, the giant one's double that size. So even according to them, it's 114 grams of fat. And by the way, if you ask these film companies, the theaters, and you see their posted amounts, they're almost 50% less than what the multiple independent groups have found when they tested it. So they know what it is, and they're not being honest about it. So this buttery soy oil that with all the synthetic stuff in it has 130 calories per teaspoon. And, I mean, my God, when you look at this thing, you might as well go have a chocolate heart attack in a restaurant after dinner has less than those kind of desserts and this. They make Hostess cupcakes and all those things we all make fun of look like junk. They make a Hershey bar in this store look like it's good.
But then they'll have the nerve to say, it's healthy popcorn. It's healthy. It's the lowest fat you can have in my candy bar. Healthy.
Yeah. And, Ashley at times makes her own popcorn from, non-GMO popcorn.
I use Eden organic popcorn, which I get in a bag over at Whole Foods. It's turned out to be my favorite. It actually tastes like corn.
Yeah. You can buy the Eden online also and have it shipped to you in packages that you can use for your family. And going back to the old way with just plain butter is a much saner approach and healthier than the other ones. I mean, it's just horrible. And, of course, cooking it in an air popper or cooking it on the stove as opposed to these heavily oiled machines like they use in the theaters also cuts out these huge numbers. But Ashley's had a bunch of suggestions. Sam and I sent you some sites like Yummy Earth, for example, to look at. And now I take a couple of their all-fruit suckers with unrefined sugars that only have 1 gram of fat per sucker, and I suck on a couple of those. They make even little drops. Ashley likes her gummy bears, which only has a single gram of sugar in them, and they're basically fruit juice. Well, you can stick those into your girlfriend or wife's purse and smuggle them in. Ashley likes, you like apricot slices.
I have organic raisins, or I'll have, I fell in love with some organic papaya, and now they don't have any of the added sulfur in it, and the things that they use for preservatives, there's no preservative in it, and I'll sit there just munching on that while I'm watching the car race, and I walk, or carrots, I'll take carrot sticks. Well, although I try to bring things that aren't going to make too much noise.
Carrot sticks are too healthy for me. I mean, I got to have some little better.
Make
right,
it.
Simon? You got to have some better than that. But,
oh, yeah.
I
have to go back to popcorn for a second. It's another one of my many silly stories. I was, this is back in the early 1980s. My neighbor invited me over to watch something called baseball. I had no clue what it was. after a couple of beers, it seemed apparent that it just revolved around a bunch of grown-up men throwing a ball at each other. Looked
oh,
pretty
come
boring.
On, you're from the land of cricket. Give me a break. On behalf of all Americans, anyone who can watch a cricket match and understand it should not say a single word about baseball.
All right. Anyway, my good buddy Greg said, how would you like some popcorn? And I said, okay, yeah, if you want. And you were talking about making popcorn in a pan rather than, air popping it.
Uh-huh.
His plan: take some popcorn kernels, one of his wife's really really good frying pans, put it on high, and go back to the game. needless to say, it did make a slight mess of the kitchen.
So.
Oh my gosh, it's horrible.
Yeah, that is never fun to pick up, is it?
We just left. We locked the house up and went somewhere else.
Yeah, that would have been one of those pans left for me, I'm sure. I'd be trying to get the scrubbing out while Manny disappeared.
it wasn't the pan that was the problem. It was the popcorn, or the 2 inches of popcorn that covered almost all of the kitchen floor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's amazing what a mess popcorn can make. But usually that's the kind of dumb thing you do when you're a teenager, before you learn better. But, yeah, everybody does that, I think, once in their life, don't they?
I would hope so.
I have. I won't admit it. Yeah. But I do know how to clean out the pan.
We're not. And by the way, we're not suggesting that anybody give up popcorn.
No, not at all. But one thing I did want to touch on, Nana, because this one kind of stunned me a little bit. Somebody had written in about, can microwave popcorn give you cancer? And I'm going, oh, come on. How can you get cancer from popcorn? And I had not thought about what they do to protect the coating of the bag that goes into the microwave. To keep it from getting soggy and messy, they whirl around inside this popcorn bag. To keep it whirling around when you throw it through the microwave, they put a substance called PFOA, perfluorooctanoic acid. Now, this supposedly migrates from the bag to the popcorn. One more chemical that I didn't even think about going into my popcorn. I just want some simple popcorn. Well, the FDA said, okay, a little bit of this amount of the PFOA is safe. Again, if you're going to eat the whole bag of popcorn, how safe is that? Then the FDA said, well, a team of experts came in and they said that the levels of PFOA from microwave popcorn may account for only 20% of the average level found in blood samples of the U.S. consumers. So whether you eat two bags of popcorn a day and none at all, you're probably getting plenty of PFOA. Now, had you heard of this one before, Simon?
No, and I don't eat popcorn. But
oh, that's right.
I'm going to be looking up some places where I can get a PFOA supplement, because obviously I'm not getting enough.
Well, who in the world thought of the fact that, now, if you are a cancer patient, I wonder if somebody's ever bothered to do this PFOA level on them to see if that's part of the toxic reason they have a cancer. Now, how can the FDA say this is perfectly safe if nobody's running tests on people who have cancer and it causes cancer?
Well, let's go back to the theme of our show. People eat stuff every day that are full of chemicals, GMOs. We talk about what goes into factory farm beefs. We talk about what goes into the factory farm dairy. Well, popcorn and the rest of it is just one more insult to your body. So the question is, they say to you, well, you know, if you only have this much, it can't hurt you. Well, but they're saying that about everything. At what point?
In what amount? Amount per bag? Amount the whole bag? Or per serving? Per nobody gives that.
Well, but more than that, it's the sum total that no one is willing to address in our society, the sum total of the amount of chemicals we as human beings consume every day, while they're telling us it's okay, it's not a lot. And that's the one that just drives me crazy. How much is enough? How much is too much? Our government is basically saying, oh, it's okay, just keep eating it because you won't eat enough of it. And yet at the same time, they're saying that kids are eating too much food and they're becoming obese. So which is it? You know, what's really going on here? And it seems to me what's really going on here is our government is giving up all of this to the industry, who basically just want to sell us food and don't care how many chemicals we consume all day. And basically they convince the FDA to say, oh, this is generally regarded as safe. Well, generally regarded by whom? By them? Are we supposed to rely upon them to tell us what's safe? When
the maker? The maker of this microwave popcorn and
oh, come on. They have independent paid researchers.
Right.
Yeah.
They wouldn't tell us a lie.
Oh, no. They wouldn't lie about it so they could sell more stuff. But that is a big lie in America right now. How many chemicals do Americans consume every day is one of the industry big lies.
So simple, pleasurable going to the movies can turn into a toxic dump waste, and you can harm the kids, and you can harm future generations with the fact that you're simply just going to go be entertained at a movie. And the worst insult to injury, you've actually paid for it. You've paid to have this toxic stuff put in your system.
And you paid top dollar.
Okay, and that was where I wanted to go somewhat earlier in the program. One of the articles that you sent me had this wonderful quote, $12 for a box of popcorn and a drink. I mean, my God, it must have been a damn good drink. You know, hopefully a fine French vintage. You know, $12 at your local farmer's market buys a lot of really, really good stuff. It's better.
Simon, I agree with you. I can actually fill my bag, my whole purse. I could bring a whole purse of popcorn if I wanted to really gross myself out, which I won't. But if I wanted to, I could. Of organic popcorn, and the whole bag, I think, is $5. It's not expensive. The entire bag that would supply multiple movie theater showings for me. You know?
Right, but $12 for
Salta.
Some popcorn.
I forgot water the last time I was at the movie theater, so I slipped out to grab some water. The only water that was available in the bottle was Dasani. Small bottle of Dasani, $4. Now, Dasani is made by Coca-Cola. They got caught with it being a tap water, filtered tap water. So I looked at the guy and I said, you're going to charge me $4 for this piece of plastic that has, you know, we won't even get to the biphenyl today, but it's like it's going to have all this stuff, chemicals in it, and I'm going to have filtered water for $4. So he hands me a cup and he says, you know, you can go over to the water fountain and probably get the same water, but don't tell anybody I said that.
Oh, love it.
I never heard him say it. $4
point,
for a little tiny thing of water.
Yep. My point, though, is, you know, so many people are in economic problems today, yet they go to the movie theater, they don't think twice about $12 for popcorn and a drink. And yet they could take that $12, go to the farmer's market, and buy real food.
Absolutely. And bring that with them. And I thought...
Take it home and cook it.
Oh, that's true. Absolutely. I know, I love Netflix. We're Netflix nuts because we'll make our organic food at home and have our Netflix.
Well, the real issue is... some of it is health, and some of it is just rebellion. I don't know about you, Simon. I'm insulted. I know from my experience in the movie industry and in corporate finance that most of these chains cannot basically make a profit without selling you candy at these exorbitant prices. And frankly, having represented a number of clients who are landlords of these various chains, they're notorious about not paying their bills on time, so they struggle financially as it is. They spend so much capital booking movies in advance that at the end of the day, they have trouble with their monthly operating capital, and during some times of the year, they just have trouble, period. So the industry looks at selling candy as the answer to all their problems. So what happens is when profits are down or they're concerned, what do you think they do? They raise the price of candy.
Here's a movie theater, Simon, in Michigan. In 2011, the chain Celebration Cinema sold 3.7 million pounds of popcorn in 2010. And then they went through the whole sales report, and they're saying, you know, our movie ticket sales were down, but yet we sold 3.75 million pounds of popcorn, 770,000 Sour Patch Kids, 1.015 million Reese Pieces, 96 gallons of soda, 741 inches of Twizzlers, 1,200 pounds of M&Ms, and this is only in 11 locations that they're in Michigan.
Wow, what would happen if they made an effort?
Yeah, right.
That's a lot. Isn't that a lot? I'm thinking, oh, my God, all that toxic chemical that they sold to people.
Yeah.
In the name of
just think how much they could have made if they were showing good movies.
I know. That would be an event, wouldn't it?
Don't get us started on the quality of movies. They're really horrible right now, and you know, at a time when the industry could learn from history, they instead employ accountants and lawyers, and including friends of mine, to make decisions they shouldn't be making. And the days of directors making those decisions and producers are long gone, except in the case of Steven Spielberg and a few others. And guess what? His movies are the biggest grossing movies on the planet. So you think there would be a message to everybody about the difference between, you know, having studios make these decisions and real people. But we won't get into that, will we, Simon?
And if somebody goes
today.
Pardon me?
We won't get into it today, but I'm sure we will get into it at some point.
So our thought today is, prepare for the movies better. Take food with you. Don't waste $30-$40 on your teenage children. Make them eat something that will make them get fat, be sick, and join the sick generation. You're doing them a favor, and you're doing yourself a favor. And there are thousands of them. Look up organic candy. You can buy organic candies like from Yummy Earth and other people that are pure fruit juice, pure sugar, none of these synthetics, no 14 to 20 ingredients, no chemicals.
Because it's filling and it doesn't have MSG, you don't eat as much.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, there are alternatives, there are solutions, and your family will be much healthier. And looking at the time, we need to say goodbye and have a wonderful weekend.
I want to thank both of you for taking part today. Once again, it's been an illuminating program, and I am guessing that we'll be back next Thursday with shock horror. I don't have the music, the creepy music to go with this statement. We'll be looking at the politics of food in our other program, the Food Revolution Papers.
And we're going to talk a little about the politics of the chocolate, the popcorn, the other things we're talking about today, how politically all of the various lobbyists and other people contribute to this poor food quality we have today. Have a great weekend.
Have a wonderful weekend. And Simon, thank you.
And thank you, folks. Okay, this is Simon Barrett. Wishing everyone a happy and safe, healthy weekend. We'll be back again on Thursday. Till then, goodbye.